I'd like to introduce to you, and you the who not know him, Brother Brian Oakes. He's a pastor of Pleasant Ridge Missionary Baptist Church. He was pastor of Bethel Missionary Baptist Church and others. And he's been preaching for a long time, very capable preacher, very spiritual preacher, a man that loves the Lord. I think fulfills his duty to the Lord the best he knows. He's my personal friend for many, many years, and I love him, I appreciate him. I'm praying for him today that he'll deliver us a message that the Lord wants delivered to this people today. Brother Brian Oakes. Your water on this okay. side.
Yes, okay. Brother.
Yes, you.
You want your walking stick?
Yeah, I'll get it out of your way.
As if I wasn't nervous enough, and then an introduction like that. I want to say what an honor it is to be back at this great association, and for the confidence that you placed in me, and I do covet your prayers. I know that there are others here that are far more qualified and that I would rather hear, but I pray that God would use us this morning for his honor and glory. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to take a study out of 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. And I'm going to begin with the first verse. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. And I'm going to stop there. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, Father, we come bow before your throne of grace once again today. Father, thanking you for this opportunity to stand before this congregation. Father, for this association and for what it stands for. Father, and I pray that, Lord, you would bind Satan from our midst this morning and that your spirit would have free course. Father, I pray that, Lord, you would take the message and that you would anoint it with power and that, Lord, you would give us listening ears to hear. Father, and that we might be drawn closer together, closer to you. Father, forgive us of our many sins and shortcomings. Anoint the message now with power. Father, give us liberty. Father, I pray that you would hide us behind the cross and deliver the message for your honor and your glory. Bless the Lord, our association, those that officers, those that will bring the topics. Bless Brother Lynn as he prepares the message for tomorrow, Father. And I pray that you would be with us today. Take us now and use us, we ask in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
I'm sure that most everyone here is familiar with this story. We've probably read it and maybe heard it at different times. But I want us to think about a picture this morning of Ahab, the king, looking out of his palace, maybe each day out the window, and there's a vineyard there. And over a period of time, he begins to want this vineyard, to lust after it, so to speak. And he comes and finally to Naboth, and he says, I'd like to have this vineyard. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he come to take the land, which he probably could have, being king. But he offered him another vineyard. He said, a better vineyard than this, a ways away. And or he said, I'll give you the worth of it in money. Now, I would like to imagine Naboth saying, you know, even if I would want to get rid of it, I can. I think about my ancestors, my father and my grandfather, maybe my great-grandfather, and the work that they've done, moving the stones and planting the vines and carrying the water and dunging them and trimming them and pruning them, everything that had to be done, building a wall to keep the animal, wild animals out, and everything that had to be done. That, you know, some things are they may not be worth a lot financially, but they mean a lot sentimentally. But Naboth says, even if I wanted to sell the vineyard, I can't. The Lord forbids it. It would be against God's law to sell the inheritance of our ancestors. And that brought me to the thought that was upon our heart for this topic or this sermon this morning. You know, the devil would be no more happy than for us to sell out on the Lord. We get discouraged. It seems like every year we hear topics about the decline in interest and not seeing the salvation or hearing about the salvation of souls like we would like to. And it seems like many of our churches are kind of going backwards, and we get discouraged. And I know the devil often takes and jumps in and he begins to take and tempt us with options or maybe desires or maybe even to take and give up. He would be no more happy than for us to sell out on the Lord, to take and sell out on our heritage, to sell out on our faith, our doctrinal beliefs. And this morning, the thought that's upon our heart is it's not for sale. It's not for sale.
Amen.
Our prayer life is not for sale. You know, we sing the song that says, once again, I face Satan this morning. It seems like it's an every day from the time I get up to the time I go to bed battle against that old devil that we face. But how often does he take and creep in and he tells us, well, you don't have time to pray. You're so busy. And there's others out there that have greater need. Well, think about those folks that are fighting those serious diseases or illnesses, ailments of certain, those that are facing major surgery. And you're just kind of blessed sitting here. You think about all those with greater needs. And it's just as important for us to pray on the mountaintop as it is in the valley.
Amen.
So often we wait till we get into the valley in trouble to call out upon the Lord. The devil has crept in and he told us that you don't have time and all of those things. And I believe the Bible is clear about the importance of our duty to pray. Jesus said in Luke 18 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to lose heart. Jesus knew the trials and the tribulations that we would go through in this life after he went back home to be with the Father. He knew the troubles and the struggles, the persecutions that we would go through, the discouragement that we face between his first coming and his second coming. And I believe the encouragement was whatever situation, whether we're on the mountaintop or whether we're in the valley, of the importance to pray and not to lose heart, not to become discouraged. You know, I try to tell the church from time to time, we need to remember Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And then the blessed promise of the 8th verse, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and to him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. You know, Jesus, knowing all that we would go through and the necessity, the need for prayer, said, watch therefore that ye enter it not into temptation. Why? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak, and the devil knows exactly where to attack. He knows when we take off the armor of God. He knows when we get discouraged, and he knows exactly where to attack to hurt us the most. Throughout the Bible, Paul talked about, when he talked about putting on the whole armor, the importance, he said, pray. Over and over and over, we're encouraged. And then he said, pray without ceasing. And he doesn't mean that from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, we're praying, but he means we should have a prayer on our heart. We should be able to pray for our neighbors and friends, or when we see an ambulance driving down the road with the sirens wailing, that we should pray for wherever they're going or whoever's injured or whatever the case may be. God knows. We should be able to pray for those. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for our churches. Pray for one another. Amen. At all times. It's not for sale, our prayer life. Our surrendering to God's will should not be for sale. You know, often when we sell out on prayer, and that's usually the first thing to go, I remember a statement that was made in a Sunday school book a while back, that for when a child of God gets out of fellowship with the Lord, the first thing to go is his prayer life. The one that we need the most is the one that we turn our backs upon. And because we sold out, many of the spiritual strongholds have been broken down. Those family altars are forgotten. Our covenant says that we would hold family and secret devotions, that we would religiously educate our children. I remember one time, not long after I was called into the ministry and I had been called to Bible Grove to pastor, I called Brother Tim Binion once. And I don't remember why I called him, but I remember the conversation. The phone rang two, maybe three, four times, and he picked up and I said, "Hey, brother, how are you?" He said, "I'll have to call you back. We're having family devotions right now." And he hung up. That's how important it was. Many of those spiritual strongholds have been torn down because many have sold out to the devil. Go back, if you were studying with us, to Deuteronomy. And I want you to notice in the sixth chapter. And these are for, I'm not going to say anything to you that you've not heard before or read before in the Word of God. But notice the importance in the sixth chapter and the fifth verse. Moses has called the congregation of Israel together and he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." We're supposed to put God first and foremost in everything that we do in our lives. And he said, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." They're supposed to be implanted here. And listen, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and of thy gate." Listen now, important, when we're sitting down in the house, or when we're laying down, or when we're going in the way, when we write, we're right where we're at, the importance of talking about the Lord to our children and to our grandchildren. Many of those spiritual strongholds are a thing of the past. Paul, in the book of Ephesians, in the sixth chapter, he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Then he said, "Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment. And then verse 4, he said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Nurture means whole teaching, if I understand it right. Admonition means exhortation. Bring them up in the whole teaching and exhortation of the Lord. And I'm afraid many fathers have dropped the ball, so to speak. And we've not taught our children as faithfully as I believe God wanted us to teach them. I'm thankful that sometimes when we as men have dropped the ball for good Christian mothers and grandmothers that stepped up to the plate and they tried to teach their children about the Lord. We read about Timothy, I believe it was, that Paul spoke about. He had learned from his mother and his grandmother about the Lord. And I'm thankful for good Christian mothers and grandmothers and but we need to take and step up to the plate. It's not for sale. Those family and secret devotions, how important they are. Think about what Paul said when he encouraged the church in Romans chapter 12. When he said, be not conformed to this world. If you look at the first verse, he said, I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I believe that I've heard that statement at different times when somebody would say, all God requires of us is a reasonable service. I believe if you take it in the context of the Scripture, what it's saying is God gave the best that heaven had to offer when He gave His Son for you and I to die on the cross of Calvary. Jesus gave the very best when He laid down His life on an old rugged cross and was lifted up between the heaven and earth where He died for our sins when He said, it is finished. The redemption plan was complete. He gave the best. And I believe it's our responsibility to give the best that we have to God. Not second best or not what's left, but to give God our best. That's our reasonable service to the Lord. Then he said, and be not conformed to this world. And if I understand that the wording there, it's to be formed into what the world wants us to be. And many are being conformed to what the world, they're compromising with the world. They've sold out to the devil and to the world, and they've given in to be what the world and to hear or to say what the world wants to hear them say. And it's time that we stand and say, it's not for sale. Yes, we have to live in this world, but we are to be a light to the lost that are around us. An example. A reflection of God. Think about. Many of you are old enough to remember when there used to be visitation services. When men and women went door to door to try to witness or to try to encourage someone or just to be a friend. I remember when some of our old preachers stood on the courthouse square on Saturday mornings and preached the gospel. I don't know if we could still do that legally anymore, but it's a thing of the past. Our Sunday night and Wednesday night service are so often neglected or taken for granted or just forgotten altogether. God has saved us for a purpose. And our surrender to Him should not be for sale. Romans chapter 6. Verse 11 says, likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We make a choice each day of whom we're going to serve. Whether we're going to sell out to the devil and let him be our leader, or whether we're going to take and stand for the Lord and let him be our leader. Our surrendering to God should not be for sale. Our studying of God's Word should not be for sale. You know, again, it's amazing. I can sit down and turn on that one-eyed devil that's my television and never blink an eye. Of course, I only watch certain things. I don't watch a whole lot of stuff, but certain things that I watch and never blink. I can pick up my Bible and start to read, and I get sleepy. I have to fight. Sometimes I have to take and get up and walk around and everything just to stay away. The devil wants us to sell out. You're too tired. Listen, Peter said the Word of God was to be desired like a babe desiring milk. You know, ever so many hours that newborn babe has to be fed. And that's how important Peter says, studying the Word of God, that we might grow, that we might grow spiritually closer to the Lord. Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We are to have a desire. You remember the psalmist said the Word of God was a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? If we've got light, we don't stumble as much as we do in the darkness. You're not as likely to trip or fall in a hole when we've got the path lit up. But many have sold out. Well, I'm just too tired to read. I don't have time. I don't understand those big words. You know, the Bereans, I believe it was in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, when they heard the Word of God, they didn't just take it for what was said. They went back and searched it out, the Scripture said, to make sure it was real, that it was true. You know, I believe it's that important. There's many in the world today that are listening to what one person says. And whatever they say, it's the gospel. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. They don't search it out. We need to know. I will never do anything to mislead or deceive anyone, but I might make a mistake. I'm human. My prayer is that God would direct me that I don't, but I might. But we need to search it out. Paul told Timothy, a young minister, and there's many ministers here this morning. There's Sunday school teachers. There's some lay people. And everyone is just important in the work of the Lord as the other is. It takes all of us laboring together to take and complete the work that God has called us to do. And he said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved. We need to search out the Word of God. We need to know what God's Word. We need to study that we will take and be approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. It's not for sale, the studying of God's Word, the surrendering of ourselves to God, our prayer life. It's not for sale, our attending church. I believe the Bible is very clear. The writer of Hebrews said in the 10th chapter, the 25th verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As we see the day of the Lord coming, things are going to get worse and worse and worse. The naysayers say it's going to get better and better and better. No, it's going to get worse, and I think we can see the change in just our lifetime. How the morals have dropped to nothing, it seems. And I'm not a prophet of doom. But I believe we need the encouragement of our brothers. We need the encouragement of this association and sister associations. We're not in this battle alone. It's not like our church is battling against each of your churches. We're laboring together to reach out to a lost and dying world.
Amen.
To carry the truth of God's Word. The devil takes it. He'll remind us of our need for physical. Oh, just think about how tired you are. You know, you've worked all week. You've worked long hours. And he'll give every excuse that a person needs to hear to miss church. And he'll never mention your spiritual needs. You know, as I thought about that, they used to plaster the television with those starving kids in those foreign countries. And I wonder if they could do an x-ray of our soul. How many of our souls are starving? Deprived of God's Word. He won't remind us of our need for fellowship between one another, and especially fellowship with Him. How many have ever heard somebody say, well, I can worship just as well at home as I can at church? If you're unable to go to church, you can. If you're sick and hindered in some way and you can't go to church and you pray and you're sincere, I believe God will meet you right there. But I believe if you have the means and the ability and the opportunity to go to one of God's houses, you can't worship at home like you can at church.
Amen.
Amen. Exhorting one another and so much the more. I remember some of those dear old saints through my ministry that loved to go to church. Many of you remember Brother Leonard Wood. I loved him like a grandfather. And I remember later on in his life, when his health started going down some, and from time to time they'd put him in the hospital, maybe on a Saturday night, and I'd get to church on Sunday morning, and somebody said, well, you knew Brother Leonard was in the hospital. No, I didn't. As soon as church was over, I made a beeline to the hospital. usually at Jackson. And I remember I'd walk into the room and you'd see a smile come over his face, and then all of a sudden them big tears would begin to roll down his cheeks. And he said, "Brother Brian, I sure didn't want to be at church this morning." And I said, "No, Brother Leonard, we missed you. But God knew your desire of your heart." And there's been many other dear old saints through the years that it didn't matter what happened. If the church doors was open, they was there. And I believe God will bless those efforts. And when we're unable to attend, I believe God will bless. But many today are selling out. And instead of having a desire to go to church, they're looking for an excuse to miss or an excuse to cancel a service. Anything that we can come up with, any reason that we can find. Listen, God commands us not forsaking the assembly. And I believe that there's blessings when we're obedient to God's commands. Go back and think about the book of Acts. Remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? They were in one mind, one accord. Some 3,000 souls got saved. Wouldn't we love to see a revival like that across our country today? When they were threatened about preaching and teaching and witnessing for the Lord, and many had been persecuted, they didn't take and molly grub and go out and tucktail and run. They went back and they gathered together. And they prayed in one mind and one accord for boldness. And God granted them boldness. There was a shaking of the house where they were gathered. And the Bible says they received boldness to speak. I wish we would have a shaking of God today. The boldness to go out and preach Jesus to a lost and dying world. You know, there's a scripture there in the book of Acts later on that said, "These men turned the world upside down." I wish they'd say that about our association, about our churches today. These churches are turning the world upside down. They love the Lord and you can see it in them. There was one other instance. Peter had been taken prisoner and they were going to kill him right after the holy day, if I understand it right. The church gathered in one mind and one accord and prayed. And God heard their prayer. And he sent an angel down and released Peter from his shackles. Opened the doors of the prison and let him out into the streets. God heard their prayer. Listen, you and I serve that same God today. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Our land's in need of a healing.
Amen.
It may start right here in this congregation, in our churches, in our community. And I pray that it goes out to the lost around us. It's time we stand up. And we say like Naboth, it's not for sale. Our attending church, our studying of God's Word, our surrendering to God's will, our prayer life, our heritage, our faith, our doctrinal beliefs, it's not for sale. Those old ancient landmarks that the men that established this association stood on, the Word of God is planted on, they're not for sale. It's not for sale. That's the thought this morning. Thank you for hearing me. Brother Moderator, God bless you.